Christian kids are leaving the faith after high school. That's what the stats currently say. And a big part of the reason is this is because kids are not getting answers to difficult questions they have. I cover probably between 40 and 60 hours of this kind of information that I'm going to share this morning online. If anything I teach this morning catches your interest, you can go onto my website and you can actually watch a complete recording of everything that I talk about this morning. Okay, I teach this all year long at Christian High School. Like you said, I also teach at San Diego Christian College. These are my kids. It's my daughter, Savannah, my son, Graham. We caught a snake not too long ago in the backyard. And I looked it up on the internet. It wasn't poisonous. So, you know, internet's very reliable. Here's my daughter again. She's an artist. My youngest daughter is also an artist, just a different kind of artist. She got into her mother's makeup or maybe a permanent marker. I don't know. But I have three little kids. I love them to death. This is my wife and I. We just celebrated our 15th anniversary. So very blessed to have her support and encouragement in my life. She's a huge blessing to me. I'm on the radio every Sunday, 4 to 5 p.m. I'm interviewing Joe Dallas today live. He is a former homosexual. That's a huge issue in our culture right now, and it's an apologetics issue. Why is the Bible opposed to homosexuality? Why do homosexuals who want to change have such a hard time changing? All kinds of questions that are very critical to understand. And I'm interviewing Joe Dallas. He's a Christian therapist today who helps those who want to leave homosexuality get out of it. I also interviewed Ray Comfort. Anybody here know who Ray Comfort is? Oh, you've got to get to know Ray Comfort. Ray Comfort is an evangelist and a very powerful evangelist. He just came out with a movie called Audacity. I have an interview with him that's on at 2 o'clock today. And that is on how to witness and share the gospel with those who have embraced the homosexual lifestyle. So lots of stuff going on. Today, this morning, we're going to talk about dinosaurs. Are dinosaurs something that help us in our understanding of the scriptures, or are they something that confuse us, right? I've heard lots of confusing things from people about dinosaurs. I had a youth pastor tell me once that he thought the devil put dinosaur bones in the ground to trick Christians, to test their faith or something. I was like, oh my gosh, you're kidding me. Okay, no, that is not the answer. So, we're going to go kind of quick here. It's going to feel like a fire hose, but that's the way it is. Okay, so the U.S. Geological Survey has a question and answer section on their website, and they say, did people and dinosaurs live at the same time? Their answer is no. After the dinosaurs died out, nearly 65 million years passed before people appeared on Earth. Okay, if you look at this little chart here, they say that dinosaurs went extinct far before humans came onto the planet, okay? They say that humans, as we are today, came around 200,000 years ago. Dinosaurs went extinct 65 million years ago. So no humans and dinosaurs should ever have seen each other or essentially know about each other except for the bones, according to evolutionary thinking. Okay, so they say humans and dinosaurs did not live together. Nobody has seen a live dinosaur, and dinosaurs went extinct 65 million years ago. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. That's Exodus 20:11. It says everything was made in 6 days. Not I made some stuff in 6 days. I made lots of stuff before that. That's not what the Bible says. Okay, the Bible's very clear about its position on this. So what does it mean? It means if that's true, Adam must have seen giraffes. No, dinosaurs is right. Dinosaurs, very good. Okay, but he had to see giraffes too. So these are the two basic timelines. 6,000 years ago, God made everything. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. 2,000 years ago, Christ came. And then here we are today. Evolutionary timeline says 14 billion years ago, there was a big bang. 4.6 billion years ago, Earth forms. 3.8 billion years ago, first life appears. 2.5 million years ago, human line diverges from ape-like ancestors. According to the Bible, dinosaurs were created at the same time as everything else within that six-day time frame, about 6,000 years ago. According to evolutionists, 230 million years ago, dinosaurs evolved into existence and then went extinct 65 million years ago. The question is, who's right and does it really matter? Well, I think it really does matter because it affects a person's trust and faith in the Bible, doesn't it? Right? If we see a track record of consistently being accurate historically, scientifically, logically, well, all of a sudden our faith increases. Right? I teach this all day long. I have no doubt, 100% confidence, the Bible is true. The Bible is the Word of God. A big part of the reason that I have that confidence is because over time, as the questions have popped up, I've sought out the answers to those questions, and I go, this book is solid. I can build my life on this rock. There is no book like the Bible. There is nothing like the Bible. It's incredible. It truly is God's word. So if that's what evolutionists say, biblical creationists say, humans and dinosaurs did live together. People have seen live dinosaurs, and dinosaurs went extinct recently, not millions of years ago. But the question is, what does the evidence tell us? Because I don't want to believe something just because. I want to believe it because it's true. And I'll challenge you to this. When you seek Christ, when you seek truth, you find Christ. When you seek Christ, you find truth. They're one and the same. The God of science is the God of the Bible. The God of history is the God of the Bible. They coincide. They go together. You can have confidence in that. Okay, now things were different in the past. Between the time from when God created everything and the flood, things were a lot different. If you were to track out the lifespans of people that lived before the flood, they lived very, very long. Okay, you're talking into the 900s they lived. Now that sounds crazy. Are you kidding me? People living into the 900s? Methuselah, right? 969 years old. That's got to be a fairy tale. Average age before the flood was 912 years. Today, it's only 70 to 80. It dropped. You get down to Joseph, and he only lives to 110. Well, that's still a long time. But according to the Bible, that's not very long compared to what his ancestors lived. Now, do we have any reason to believe this is actually true? Amazingly, we do. They're studying genetics now. If you're interested in this, it's Dr. John Sanford. He's a Cornell University professor. He wrote a book called Genetic Entropy. And he became a Christian because of his study of genetics. He said, this is unbelievable. What they're finding is this. Every generation has more mutations than the last, and every generation is getting sicker, right? You are sicker than your parents were, and your kids will be sicker than you are. Every generation gets 100 to 300 new mutations. My daughter has cystic fibrosis. I've looked into this very extensively. It's very powerful evidence for the truth of God's word. What they're seeing is what's called a fitness curve that's declining. It's a declining fitness curve. This guy, Dr. Crow, he said we're declining 1% to 2% per generation. He's not a Christian. He's a population geneticist. Dr. John Sanford wrote this book. He's the guy that became a Christian. And what he did was he plotted the fitness curve against the Bible's ages that are decreasing. He said it has a 90% correlation coefficient. It's unbelievable. He said, there's no way this is fabricated. It matches what we know from genetic entropy perfectly. So that's just very succinct. You could look into this more if you want to. But what I want to talk about, I'm going to give you some more evidence here, is what is an indeterminate grower? See that thing? That is huge. What if you met that in the water? Would you be scared? I'd be scared. That's a giant freshwater stingray. It's real. I didn't Photoshop that. An indeterminate grower is an animal that has no specific stopping point to its growth. The longer it lives, the bigger it gets. So not only were people living longer, but animals were also. The biggest pterosaur flying over the inland sea, this is from Whole Earth Science, is the pteranodon. Like all reptiles, it grows throughout its life. It's common knowledge that some animals don't stop growing until they die. Not all, of course, but many, especially a lot of reptiles, keep growing until they die. Well, what would happen to a desert horned lizard that lived to 600, 700, 800 years old? Or some type of animal like that? Maybe it would become an ankylosaurus. I don't know. What about a Komodo dragon? Anybody seen one of these before? Pretty crazy. Boy, that would be scary, wouldn't it? Komodo dragon that's 600, 700 years old and doesn't stop growing, right? Now that's Photoshop. That's not real. Okay, just every once in a while I have somebody. Whoa, no way. No, that's not real. Okay, so, faux pas. Okay, that's okay. It's all right. Throwing water at me. It must be something I said. Okay, oysters. On the mountains of Peru, they have now found fossilized oyster shells that are 11 and a half feet wide. This was in 2001. Are you kidding me? Has anybody here seen an oyster 11 and a half feet wide? I haven't seen one. I go to the beach quite a bit. There are no oysters that big. But yet they found them. If we don't see giant clams today, but we have giant clams from the past, what does it tell us about the past? It tells us the past was different. Something's different about the past than today. This is a giant bivalve clam fossil right here. You can look these up. They're all over the place. There's many of them. This is a rhinoceros, 18 feet tall, based on its footprints, the University of Nebraska Museum. These are the bones of what's called a giant long-necked rhinocerotoid. The small one is a normal rhinoceros. The big one is a rhinocerotoid. The small one is a one-ton animal. The big one is a 15 to 20-ton animal. Are you kidding me? Now, I'm kind of glad these went extinct. I mean, that would be scary, right? These are as big as a mammoth. Rhinoceros as big as a mammoth. This is a dragonfly. This is a fossil of a 30-inch wingspan dragonfly. Are you kidding me? That is huge. That's three feet long, right? Can you imagine that flies into your house? Forget the fly swatter. Where's my gun, right? You're driving along the freeway, and they're, like, hitting your windshield. You have to have bulletproof glass just to drive through the desert. I mean, this is crazy, but this is what used to exist. Oh, it is. Oh. These are a cockroach, giant hissing cockroach right here. Anybody like cockroaches? No? I don't usually get any hands on that one when I ask that. 4 inches long, found in Ohio. What if there are cockroaches like that? I mean, what would you do? Would you try to step on it? It would, like, grab your leg and start gnawing on your leg. Right? This is a millipede 8 feet long. Fossil centipede, eight and a half feet long. Forget about letting your kids play in the backyard, okay? That's over. Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's crazy. 2-foot-long snails. Fossil of a giant tarantula here. This is a giant sloth. This is in the Natural History Museum in London. It used to be these sloths that were huge. I mean, as big as an elephant here. This right here is giant sloth dung. That's kind of, you know... You go to the museum, hey, let's all hold the giant sloth dung. That's kind of gross. But anyway, that's what I could find. So here's the thing. Let me tell you. The Bible says that God started out making creation perfect and everything has gotten worse. Evolution says everything started out worse and has gotten better. The question is, who's telling the truth? I think God's telling the truth. This is a giant elk, 12-foot antlers lived on earth. This is a giant elk standing next to a Mexican guy. I could only find, my wife is Mexican, so don't take offense to that. But that is huge. They have found kangaroo fossils now 10 feet high, 10-foot high kangaroos. They found a wombat, that's a wombat right there, but they found fossils of them the size of a car. You could ride it to work, you on your wombat. Ancient rodent the size of a buffalo. This is from MSNBC. It says it would be an exterminator's worst nightmare, a 1,545-pound rodent with a voracious appetite and big teeth. This is a bird, 13 feet tall. That's an ostrich egg compared to an elephant bird egg. They found beavers 8 feet long. That's a beaver skull. Based on the size of that skull, excuse me, that would have been about 6 feet long, this beaver. Super beaver.
Beavers are an old family. Most beavers are medium-sized, big one 20 pounds. There was a giant beaver, Castoroides, which has a head as big as a black bear and would weigh up to 150 pounds.
The 6-inch incisors poking out of the front of its mouth help it to clip and chew lakeside greens. And like his modern-day beaver cousins, his broad teeth seem capable of cutting down trees.
This is at the Iowa Ice Age exhibit. That bottom one there is a normal beaver skull. That's just the lower jaw of this giant beaver. That's just the lower jaw of it. Do you see it there? Right, nod your head if you see it, yeah? Okay. Salamanders. Now, these salamanders, they still have salamanders that are over 6 feet long. There's a guy holding one. That's kind of gross. But I've heard they make good pets. Great to snuggle with. This is an 18-foot crocodile, one of the largest crocodiles ever found. But there's fossils of crocodiles that are 40 feet long called the super croc. This is 1-inch shark tooth typically represents about 15 foot of shark. So if you get a one inch long shark tooth, that means you have a shark that's about 15 feet long. But they found shark teeth 7 inches long. So what that means is you're about an 80 foot plus shark. That's me surfing in Hawaii. I barely avoided that shark. My wife got that photo. I'm just kidding, okay? But look at the size. That's a great white. That's a person, and that's the megalodon, okay, based off of those 7-inch fossil teeth. The UNL paleontologist head featured in Smithsonian special on monster snake. Check this out. That on the right is the vertebrae of a python. That on the left is the vertebrae of what they call the Titan boa. It's gigantic. The Smithsonian now has an exhibit on this snake. It's 49 feet long, 2,500 pounds, longer than a school bus or a Tyrannosaurus rex. That's it in the Smithsonian. They have it eating an alligator. Okay, so what happens when a Jackson chameleon lives to 900 years? Now, I don't think that it was a Jackson chameleon, but it was some other type of big lizard that was able to live 600, 700, 800 years old. But what do you end up with? You end up with a Triceratops. Dinosaurs were big lizards that lived a long time and were able to get huge. That's what a dinosaur was. Evolutionists have a claim about reality, and we have a claim about reality based on the Bible and based on evidence. Humans and dinosaurs did live together. No, people have seen live dinosaurs, and dinosaurs went extinct recently. What does the evidence tell us? Well, the evidence tells us that the Bible says Noah went into the ark when he was 600 years old. Were dinosaurs on the ark? Right? Oh, snap. Was that today? Darn it. Missed it, right? How did the unicorns go extinct? Well, I don't know. Maybe they didn't get on the ark. No, there are no unicorns. That's not real, okay? Weren't the dinosaurs too big to fit on the ark? Some people will say this. Weren't the dinosaurs too big? How could Noah have possibly fit dinosaurs on the ark? How was it possible for your mother to give birth to you? That's not a mean joke. He's not making fun of the guy. Even the largest full-grown creatures were once small. Even the biggest dinosaurs were small. The largest dinosaur egg ever found is smaller than a football. All you had to do was make sure you got a pink one and a blue one, right? And you're good to go. They are smaller, right? Why bring babies? They're smaller. They weigh less. They eat less. They sleep more. They're tougher, right? My son, I remember walking in the backyard. He was about maybe 4 years old. And I looked up, and we have one of those slides in the backyard that goes like this, you know? And he was at the top of the slide on a big wheel. And he said, "Dad, I'm going to do it." And I was like, "Well, your mom probably wouldn't want you to, but let me get my video camera." So he went down. He hit that first whoop-de-doo, and I just, poof, there he's going through the air. Thump, he hits the ground, and I'm like, "Oh, no." He pops up, "Dad, I'm okay." I was like, "That's my boy. I'm going to do it again, right?" No. Okay, so, but on the other hand, my father, in his 70s, right, he fell down walking outside, couldn't get his hands out in front of him in time, hit the ground, collapsed one of his lungs. They had to take him to the hospital. They shoved a pump into his lung and pumped his lung back up. I didn't know you could do that. But you know what? Big, older dinosaurs, when they fall down, they don't get up, right? So you're going to want to take the younger dinosaurs on the ark. After the flood, they're going to live longer to produce more offspring. Of course, that's the whole reason you're bringing them, is to make babies. So you're going to bring the younger dinosaurs. That makes sense. This guy rebuilt Noah's Ark by himself. Unbelievable. It's a smaller scale size. To know if all the animals could fit on the ark, you have to know two things. How big was the ark, and how many animals did he have to take, right? Those are the two things you got to know. Answers in Genesis. Anybody heard of Answers in Genesis? If you don't know them, you should look into them. They're an incredible organization. They're building a full-size ark. It is the largest wooden structure in the world they're building. Based on the measurements in the Bible, 3 decks. It's back in, I want to say Kentucky, but I'm not sure. Anyway, they're building an amusement park, all based on the Bible. It's a museum and amusement park, and they're building a full-size ark. They estimate they're going to get more than 1 million people through there just in the first year. It's an incredibly, incredible evangelistic tool. The Bible says that the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits, Genesis 6:15. A cubit was from here to here. They had different cubits. There was Hebrew cubits, Egyptian cubits, royal cubits. But basically, we can get a good idea of how big the ark was based on what we know.
Lots of people say...
I'm going to skip that video, sorry. I know, that would have been good, but oh well. So, go to my website. The ark, if you look at the measurements of the ark, you would need about 16,000 animals on the ark. The ark could have fit 125,000 sheep-sized animals based on its volume, and there have been tons of studies done on this. Okay, again, if you want to research it, research it. It's incredible. There have been university studies done on the feasibility of the ark, whether it could have survived for that amount of time in the water. It's completely feasible. Even secular studies have been done proving the seaworthiness of the ark, that it was a completely, as it's described in the Bible, completely valid claim. Okay, so what happened to the dinosaurs when they got off the ark? Well, they did go extinct eventually, maybe by smoking, I don't know. Some people say that the world was hit by an asteroid that killed all the dinosaurs. Now, I have a problem with that because why would it just kill the dinosaurs and not all the other animals? Seems a little strange. Dinosaurs gassed themselves into extinction, British scientists say. It says dinosaurs may have farted themselves to extinction, according to a new study from British scientists. Am I allowed to use that word in church? Am I allowed to say farted in church? I don't know. Okay, anyway. I teach high school students, so anyway, you'll have to forgive me. So dinosaurs had two problems after the flood. First of all, the environment got really bad. This is after Mount St. Helens erupted, and the damage done, after Hurricane Katrina, you look at what a flood does, it's very destructive, not a good place to live. But the bigger problem was that they were hunted. In Genesis, it actually says, God says to Noah, I've given you now all the animals of the earth, I have given them to you for food. Prior to this, they weren't eating animals, but after the flood, they were eating animals. That's what the Bible tells us. What happens when the human population goes up? What happens to the wild animal population? Goes down, right? You know, there used to be 300 million buffalo in America. We have next to none now. Why? Well, the human population went up. The wild animal population went down. Even animals we consider not meat eaters, right? You can't live with a herd of elephants and you live nearby. It's dangerous, right? Or lions walking around, right? You can't have lions walking around the freeways, the roads. That's dangerous, right? I have coyotes at my house, and I'm sure you guys out here have lots of animals too. My sister was 20 feet away from a mountain lion, and early in the morning ran screaming to her home. And I have coyotes that come through my yard, and I can't just let my kids. I have to be careful about having my little daughters out there because I'm a little nervous about that. But imagine lions and so forth. Hippos, right? You know that hippos are like the number one killer in the world for people. They kill more people than cobras. It's unreal. But if you had a herd of dinosaurs around, well, either you got to go or they got to go. So dinosaurs were hunted for meat because they're a menace, to be a hero. Man hunted them to prove his superiority, competition for land, medicinal purposes. There's all kinds of ancient recipes with that call for dinosaur blood or dinosaur eggs. Now, you're thinking to yourself, hey, that's purely mythical. But watch what I show you. What does the Bible say about dinosaurs? In the book of Job, it talks about a creature called Behemoth. And the book of Job was probably written shortly after the flood. We can tell this based on how long he lived. If you study this, you can see that Job lived quite a while based on the amount of kids he had. He had multiple generations of kids. Look at Behemoth, which I made along with you, and which feeds on grass like an ox, Job 40:15. Now, some Bibles in the side notes will say maybe a hippo or a elephant, right? Okay, so here's some of the big dinosaurs here. What strength it has in its loins, what power in the muscles of its belly. The elephants have a big belly. Hippopotamus has a big belly. Brachiosaurus has a big belly. He has a big belly. Okay, I just want to know if that's photoshopped or he actually posed for that. Okay, so it could be any of these so far. It could be an elephant, a hippo, a sumo wrestler. Its tail sways like a cedar. The sinews of its thighs are close-knit. Job 40:17. That's a cedar tree. Its bones are tubes of bronze. Its limbs like rods of iron. It ranks first among the works of God, yet its maker can oppose it with his sword. Now, during this part of the scripture, God is challenging Job. He's saying, Job, you're questioning me, but can you approach the behemoth like I can? Can you handle him? And he goes on and on about talking about right? So, does that look like a cedar tree to you? He moveth his tail like a cedar tree? No, I don't think so. What about that? Does that look like a cedar tree? It's like a cedar twig. Look at that cedar tree just blowing in the wind. There's a cedar tree. Now that's more like a cedar tree, isn't it? Okay, so when we look at this and we see the description given, it doesn't really look like an elephant, right? The Bible's inspired, not the footnotes. Lots of commentaries have been written that have gotten it wrong. We need to go back to the Bible and see what does the Bible actually say. It's very important. I teach church history too. And you know what I've noticed when I study church history? That every time people start doing wacky things, things that are way off base, it's when they get their eyes off the scripture and onto their own agenda. When they decide to try to make the Bible fit what they want it to say rather than what it actually says. When they try to make God conform to their view instead of allowing God to make them conform to his view. Very important. That's a Brachiosaurus toe bone. That's part of a Brachiosaurus leg. That's a Brachiosaurus footprint. There's his whole leg. That's called the Sauroposeidon. It's the largest dinosaur fossils ever found. That's a giraffe down here. That's a person. Sauroposeidon, 60 feet tall. If God says he is chief of all that I've made, is an elephant chief if he made that too? I don't think so. 100 tons. 14 school buses. If he stepped on you, you'd be deeply impressed. That was so corny. That's so bad. He is the chief of the ways of God. Chief, first thing. Oh, error. That's not a good sign. Hold on. It's the devil. Okay. Almost there. Are you guys learning something new this morning? Yeah? Okay, good. Okay, so chief, beginning, chief, principal thing. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth. In 1770, George Buffon said the earth was 70,000 years old. In 1905, the age of the earth was officially 2 billion years old, as reported by Newsweek. In 1969, the age of the earth was 3.5 billion years old. And today, I got this article, 2014, May 16. How do we know the earth is 4.6 billion years old? That's from the Smithsonian. What this means is the earth has been getting older at the rate of 21 million years per year for the last 220 years, 40 years per minute. What does this tell you about people? People are fallible. They make mistakes. They don't know everything. See, why would I base my life on the ideas of a fallible man who doesn't follow God, who has a sinful nature, who has ulterior motives, when I have God's word, which tells the truth, who died on the cross for my sins, right? Who's looking out for me, who doesn't have ulterior motives, but just wants a relationship with me, right? Who loves me enough to die for me. Why would I trust a fallible man over the word of God? It makes no sense. See, the Bible doesn't change. In 2,000 years, the Bible has zero changes. But how many scientists have had to revise their opinions about reality constantly? Why doesn't the Bible use the word dinosaur? Well, this guy right here looks kind of like a vampire or something. The word dinosaur was invented by Sir Richard Owen in 1841. Prior to that, in the Bible, they weren't called dinosaurs. They were called dragons. Their wine is the poison of dragons, Deuteronomy 32:33. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the water. Dragons are mentioned 34 times in the Bible. In 1891, the word dinosaur was still not in the American dictionary. In 1946, when you put dragon, it said now rare, a huge serpent, a fabulous animal, generally a monstrous winged scaly serpent, lizard, or saurian. Three, a fierce or very strict person, especially a woman. Whoa. I didn't mean to get that far. Okay. So, you know, what's interesting is it says now rare. It doesn't say mythical creature. Interesting, isn't it? There are thousands of legends of dragons all over the earth. I'm just going to go through a few of them because I don't have a lot of time. This is the Han Dynasty dragon. This is a very, very ancient statue of a dragon. But why does it look so much like the dinosaur bones we dig up? This is a Therizinosaurus. I think they make their names like that just to try to sound smart. You know, I don't think it's because it's like, let's come up with the hardest name we can. But notice the theropod dinosaur has the correct posture, dermal spines, forearms that end in three-fingered hands. That is exactly what we find in the fossil record. Well, they weren't paleontologists. How did they know that's exactly what it looked like? There are many Chinese stories about dragons. One Chinese legend tells of a famous Chinese man named Yu. After the Great Flood, Yu surveyed the land of China, divided it into sections. He built channels to drain the water off to the sea and help make the land livable. Many snakes and dragons were driven from the marshlands. You know what? Let's spice this story up a little bit. Let's throw in some dragons, right? You know that the Chinese calendar has 11 real creatures and one mythical creature? It's got the rooster, the dog, the boar, the rat. It goes all through all these real animals, and then it ends with a dragon. Hey, guys, you know what? This calendar is boring. Let's throw in a dragon. How about a unicorn and a Pegasus, too? No. Why do they have 11 real ones and one fake one? Maybe the devil's just a mastermind at tricking people and deceiving people into believing things that aren't true. Marco Polo reported that dragons were being used to pull the chariots for the emperor. They had a position of royal dragon feeder. Many Chinese recipes require dragon's blood. This is an 800-year Buddhist temple in Cambodia. What is that animal right there? It's a dog. It's a dog with spikes on its back. No, it's not. That's a stegosaur. Well, how did they know what stegosaurs look like if they never seen them? Remember, they went extinct 65 million years ago. Alexander the Great talked about dragons scaring his soldier. This is a Russian medallion of a man slaying a dragon. This creature was dragged up by Japanese fishermen off the coast of New Zealand. They drew sketches of it, even made a stamp about it. They said it's a plesiosaur. There are many, many sightings, not just the Loch Ness, but many sightings of sea monsters all over the entire world. Okay, this is one over in Japan, right here. This is another one on the south side of Japan, statue of Izzy from Lake Akita, Japan. These are long-necked dragons carved on a slate palette showing the triumph of King Narmer. These are long-necked dragons. Why would people put dinosaurs on their artwork if they'd never seen them? This is a cylinder seal from the 4th millennium BC made of jasper, Mesopotamia, with long-necked dragons. Now, I've always wondered about why they're crossed, why their necks are crossed like this. That's a Brachiosaurus skeleton, by the way. But again, here you see this. maybe it's because, have you ever seen giraffes fight?
I heard a big crunch.
Anyway, I thought maybe that's why their necks are crossed like that. I don't know. In the Bible, it talks about flying dragons. This is considered the father of history. His name's Herodotus. He talks about flying dragons. He saw many of their bones. This is reported in the history of Herodotus. Okay, winged serpents. And he says they have wings that resemble those of the bat, but they're not bats. Josephus talks about multitude of flying serpents. Okay, again, you see this recorded in history by historians. In the Catholic Bible, which is not God's word, this is not inspired, but we can use it as a potential historical reference. There's a story in the Catholic Bible of Daniel killing a dragon. Listen to it. It's a very interesting story. And there was a great dragon in that place, and the Babylonians worshipped him. By the way, their chief god, Marduk, was a dragon. Behold, thou canst not say now that this is not a living god. Adore him, therefore. So the king at the time says, hey, this is a god. Look at him. He's awesome. And what does Daniel say? I adore the Lord my God, for he is the living God, but that is no living god. But give me leave, O king, and I will kill this dragon without sword or club. Daniel says, I'll kill the dragon without even using a sword or a club. I give thee leave. The king is thinking, oh, he's going to get eaten up. But he doesn't know what Daniel's going to do. In the Catholic Bible, it says, then Daniel took pitch, fat, and hair and boiled them together, and he made lumps and put them into the dragon's mouth, and the dragon burst asunder. So what happened was he knew it was basically rat poison, right? He took a bunch of hair, put it together with tar, put fat in it so it would be tasty, threw it in there, dragon ate it and killed him. And he goes, that's no God, see, right? Babylon has been found, by the way. And what's on the walls of old Babylon? Dragons. All over the walls, dragons. Why are there dragons everywhere, all over the world, if nobody's ever seen a real dinosaur? I'm going to go quickly because I'm almost out of time here. I'm going to show you one of the most compelling evidences real quick. Here I talk a little bit about fire-breathing dragons and the physical possibility of that. Again, these are images and stories of dragons from all over the world. It's a Viking woodcut of a guy being eaten. That's his head down here, body going in first. Viking ships had dragon heads on them. Fafnir, that's the Cornish sea serpent that was photographed, the English Channel sea serpent. The guy that wrote Sherlock Holmes, Arthur Conan Doyle, testified that he saw a plesiosaurus swimming by his boat. There's Australian cave drawings of dinosaurs, even that eat people. In South America, in Peru, they have found over 50,000 stones with tons of dinosaur carvings on the stones. People killing them, riding them, petting them. It's like they lived with them. And South America would be a great place if a dragon wanted to hide or a dinosaur wanted to hide, wouldn't it? Because if the people population is low, then the wild animal population can be high, right? They, on their pottery, there are dragons carved on all their pottery. On their blankets, they have dinosaurs. Stories of missionaries have stories of tribal people who were attacked by dinosaurs. Sorry, I'm going so fast here. In Africa, many people claim to have seen in the Congo dinosaur, called Chipikwe. These guys went down there and reported seeing them. Many of the natives have seen them. This guy is a biologist from the Congo, just drew a picture of what he saw. The History Channel even did a special on the fact that so many people have seen dinosaurs in the Congo. And what they did was a guy went down there and he showed the people, the tribal people, all these different pictures of dinosaurs. All of them, they said, no, we've never seen those, except for two. Immediately when they saw him, they said, yep, that's him. That's Mokele Mbembe. He's the one we've seen, and he's very vicious. You have to be very careful about this part of the river.
The locals have virtually...
I'm going to skip it. Go to my website. Ogopogo. Okay. This is what I would use today. If you were somebody was talking about dinosaurs and they said, how do you know the biblical view is right? Here's one of the most powerful evidences you can use, and I'll wrap up with this. What they're finding right now in the Hell Creek Formation in Montana is tons of dinosaur skin, bones that are not fossilized. They're finding the actual blood vessels. Mary Schweitzer found a T-Rex bone. They cut it in half. Inside of it was soft red blood cells. Okay? Now, soft red blood cells don't last very long. This had to have gone extinct very recently. This is a Habosaurus Mary Schweitzer found, unfossilized dinosaur skin. These are drawings of dinosaurs by Indians. 60 Minutes did a special with Mary Schweitzer. And, sorry, there we go. This one right here. 60 Minutes did a special with Mary Schweitzer showing that it was soft tissue, okay? Now, what's interesting is that at the end of the 60 Minutes thing, they say to her, whoa, what does this mean? And she goes, I guess red blood cells can last millions of years. I was like, good evidence, wrong conclusion. It means your view of dinosaurs is wrong and the biblical view is right. I just interviewed this guy, Mark Armitage, on the radio. You can go to my YouTube channel. You can listen to it. He was digging up bones in the Hell Creek Formation. He found one of the largest Triceratops horns ever found. They've done x-rays on it. He's a microscopy expert. They've done x-rays on it. Turns out the bones are not fossilized. They're finding soft tissue in the bones of a Triceratops horn. This is being found again and again and again. So what does this mean for us? Oh, this was found in 1925, washed up on the beach. Looks like a dead dinosaur. So what does this mean? It means that the Bible is trustworthy. It means when the Bible talks about things being God creating everything about 6,000 years ago, that you can trust it. Take the time to look into it. We have the truth on our side. The truth doesn't have to hide from a lie. Take the time to do the research, look into it. And when Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes into the Father through me, we can see that the track record of the Bible is reliable. And when Christ makes a claim, it's reliable. I have reason to trust it and believe it. There is no book like the Bible. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we just want to thank you so much, God, for this morning, Lord. Thank you that your word is trustworthy. Thank you, Lord, that we can put all our eggs in one basket, Lord, your basket, Lord. We don't have to be standing on the fence with your word, Lord. We can throw ourselves wholeheartedly into the word of God because it is true and trustworthy. I pray that, Lord, that if there is anybody in this room today who has not put their whole heart into trusting you and walking with you, I pray, Lord, that you would move them into a personal relationship with you where they can take refuge in you. They can cast their cares and their burdens on you, Lord, and they can trust in you for eternal life, Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name.